The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of the fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat. They were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire and fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning. I was wondering where all our students were, then I realized that they're still on school break. So I was actually at breakfast, I was discussing with the fathers, because I never know which class is going to show up. And even if I ask ahead of time and somebody tells me, it's always the wrong class. So I'm preparing for fourth graders and I end up getting seventh graders or something. It's like, whatever. So it's good to be able to preach to adults sometimes. So in the gospel, there's something that's interesting that happens after Jesus' resurrection. Almost every time Jesus appears, people don't recognize him. If you read, for example, and to me this is the most striking case, but if you read in the Gospels, almost every time Jesus appears after the resurrection, people are looking straight at him and they don't recognize him. And then they have to eventually, by his actions and his interaction with them, then gradually they realize this has to be him. For example, at the tomb, who were the first people that saw him? Well, Mary Magdalene, depending on which gospel you read, either Mary alone or Mary and the other women. But in the Gospel of John again, when Mary approaches Jesus, she thinks he's the gardener. She's looking straight at him. She thinks he's the gardener. And it isn't until he pronounces her name, he says, "Mary." And then she realizes it is the Lord. She falls at his feet. The disciples of Emmaus, who were his followers, they were disciples. They weren't the 12, but they were amongst the group of people that followed him all over the place. He walked with them for a couple of miles, talked with them, was having dinner with them. They didn't recognize him until he broke the bread. One priest, he was one of my superiors, he's since passed away. He actually said, "You'll never read this in any gospel commentary, but I think what happened was the moment he broke the bread, he lifted up his hands and they saw the holes in the wrists." Maybe. Okay. But still, they're looking straight at his face. How do they not recognize him? And to me, this gospel is the most telling, because they see Jesus on the shore, they don't recognize him, fair enough. They're at a distance, you know, it's chiaroscuro, it's kind of dark, you know, turning, the sun's rising, whatever. Fair enough, they might not recognize him from that distance. Then he performs the miracle, and in the performance of the miracle, John figures out that's got to be Jesus, so they all go back to the shore. But the interesting thing is here. Later on, after they're sitting at a bonfire with him, talking to him and eating, it says, even though they're, Jesus said to them, come have breakfast, and none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. Again, how could they not know? Well, here's the thing. From the moment of the resurrection onward, Jesus' relationship with us has changed. And from the moment of the resurrection onward, it is only with the eyes of faith that we will be able to recognize Christ. And what he did was he was preparing his disciples for the way things were going to be after the ascension. The reality is, Christ is around us all over the place. And it's only those of us who have eyes of faith, though, that we're going to be able to recognize Christ. Just as in the Gospels, they would be doing whatever they're doing, they're walking down the road or they're fishing and he would just kind of pop up. Or one time he walks through the walls and just appears in front of them. That time they actually recognized him, maybe because he walked through a wall. But in the end of the Gospel, after the resurrection, people, even when they're talking to him and looking straight at him, the only way that they recognize him is through the lens of faith. So the question then comes, how do you and I have that lens of faith to start to recognize the signs of Christ around us? You know, when you read the lives of saints and you see figures, and again, you and I remember, some of you remember seeing Padre Pio, or at least videos. He died before I was born, but I remember many times being around John Paul II, being in audiences, being at masses with him, seeing videos, whatever. Pope St. John Paul II, I've seen videos of Mother Teresa. I've seen her from a distance, but I've never actually interacted with her, but, you know, I've seen footage of her and whatnot. These are people, and I'm reading right now the Diary of St. Faustina again, The Divine Mercy in My Soul, incredible. It's been a long time since I read that. I recommend it to everyone. These people saw signs of Christ everywhere, though. They were able to recognize when he was doing something. Well, the first thing is, if you and I want to recognize Christ, we have to be men and women who pray. We have to be men and women who pray. And it's very natural. If you are used to talking to somebody and you are familiar, if you have a friend and you're constantly in touch with your friend or perhaps your spouse, you already kind of know what that person's going to do ahead of time. You know the way they will react to certain circumstances because you know them, right? And it's going to be the same way with with our faith. If we are men and women who pray and we have an ongoing, not just every day, but throughout the day relationship with Christ, then when we see certain little things, it will recognize there's Jesus in that person, in this circumstance, in this little answered prayer, in whatever. We see the signs of Christ. Jesus himself was the exemplar par excellence of this. Jesus, when he gave his parables, what was he doing? He would look out at the wheat fields, and somehow a wheat field would remind him of his father. He would see a parable. You know, he would see the sunset. He would see just acts of nature. He would see somebody cleaning their house, and he's constantly referring back and seeing signs of his father at work. But when you live constantly in the presence of God, you start to recognize. You hear his voice, you recognize it. You see the signs, you recognize him, and especially in the lives of other people. Some of you know, I just recently had an experience of that the other day. One of the Walking with Purpose ladies had a stroke on Easter Sunday, and a couple days later died. I guess it was Thursday, right? Or Wednesday, what day was it, Wednesday? Thursday, she died. So just yesterday morning. So Tuesday, you know, I'm in the email chain. Tuesday, I read the emails. I said, oh my gosh, it's too bad. I said some prayers. But Wednesday morning, I just realized I've got a free schedule. So I just hopped in the car. I didn't even know this person. Didn't know her family. Just a name on a list in an email chain. I hopped in a car and drove over and gave her the anointing and said some prayers with her and everything. And, you know, talked to the husband and came back. And the next morning, I find out she died. Okay. Do I get to take credit for that? No. That was God. Why did I get inspired to go and do that? Why did I have the time on my hands to be able to make a trip out to Westchester County Medical? That was God. But when we live in a relationship with Him, it's very obvious when He's doing those kind of things. He makes things clear. So I guess this is the invitation. This is the invitation that the Gospels are trying to give us. Christ is all around us. He's doing things all the time, inside of us, in our friends, in the weather, in everything. He's there. And if we want to learn how to recognize His presence, then it begins by being men and women who pray. Father and Son, the Holy Spirit.